I work for the U.S. Army Engineer Research Development Center in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and this is an approach that we're attempting to develop to try to get a handle on the error associated with soil heterogeneity in terms of creating accurate functions to predict environmental processes. For the Army, soils really represent a formidable technology barrier. They seem to frustrate a lot of different tech that the Army tries to incorporate, whether it confuses interpretation or remote sensing data. We never know physically or chemically how Army tech will interact with the soil unless we have direct, some kind of direct interaction with it, direct exposure or experience with it. Soils always represent the highest, the most uncertain aspects of any type of kind of environmental situational model that the Army tries to use to project. You know, if they're going to put the troops in an area, they want to understand the conditions they're going to be dealing with. Soils are always the high uncertain end of all environmental fate and all types of situational modeling. In the soil science community, we have to deal with this problem as well. One way we try to get around this is to try to generate predictions based upon, you know, a handful of properties, typically univariate type approach where, you know, we look at either COC or carbon contents or something like this. But ultimately, it's not very satisfying because, you know, defining a soil based upon one, two, three properties really does nothing to really distinguish one soil from another. So that when it comes to, at the end of the day, it comes down to you still have very poor predictability among the highly variable range of soil types that we have. We have a great system for discriminating one soil from another. It's the taxonomic system based upon the NRCS, and it's an observational system, largely an observational system. And what you can, when you see this, you can see these are profiles I pulled straight off the NRCS website. What's important to realize is that the high discriminating capability of the NRCS, it's based upon visual inspection, and you automatically know that based upon the color and the horizonations and, you know, different, the consistency of the material, you automatically realize that there is some kind of a geochemical relationship to the visual distinctions among these profiles. And so, in theory, the whole hypothesis behind this work is if we can somehow capture this high discriminating capability that exists within the taxonomic systems geochemically, then that should help us create better prediction models. In particular, you know, I point to a site on the map and say, okay, based upon, you know, collecting the right kind of data, I can predict a certain complex process that would occur in soil, such as degradation of a contaminant or something like that. So this, we call it pedoinformatics because, frankly, I didn't know what else to call it. But it's a kind of a combination between soil work, soil chemistry, soil science, and utilizing informatic-based approaches to try to interpret that information. Really what it boils down to is we are trying to develop a signature for a particular soil taxonomy. And that signature is developed in the classical way that we use it by conducting soil physical and chemical characterizations. Now, we do this all the time, but we don't equate this to a taxonomy in itself, so we lose that resolution that would come. Once we develop that signature, then we have the potential to correlate any type of process associated with that signature. And that's kind of the approach that we're going for here. So how do we find the signature? Well, it turns out that soils and the characterization data that you would use to describe the soils exhibits very strong covariance. Covariance is the definition to describe the joint dependency of variables with each other. So, for example, here I'm comparing iron and selenium in fly ash materials. And you can see that you've got a linear trend. It's not a great R squared. So we would have a low R squared of this because we have so much scatter. But if we use what's called an R, which is the square root of R squared, fortunately, we would get what's called a Pearson coefficient, and it's described by this ellipse. So the tighter the ellipse, the better the covariance is. And that covariance actually is a more generous descriptor of the joint dependency than an R squared. So you can have a very low R squared, but then have a significant R value to describe the relationships among the variables. So soils and all really almost surfaces, all solids exhibit very strong covariant behavior in their characteristics. And this makes a lot of sense. So for example, here I just program the chemical formula of different silicate minerals. And we know that we distinguish one mineral from another based upon the stoichiometry of its constituents. And so it makes a lot of sense as I look at all these elements, these minerals together, there's strong covariance in the characteristics, the elements that describe those minerals. And so it shows that minerals have a very strong covariant signature. And that's different from solutions because solutions freely mix. And so you readily lose that signature, but you always will retain a signature for any kind of solid material. The way that we can summarize this, the total covariance among all the variables within a characterization data set is to utilize a dimension reduction technique. A common one is PCA. And this is the equation for PCA, which essentially takes all this information and can take a large multi-dimensional characterization data set and boil it down to a structural component that's composed of, here this is the P, it's called loadings, it describes the variables. This T value is represents a matrix associated with the samples that are described by the variables. So we can take all that information in a large data matrix, reduce it down based upon the covariance among all the parameters to the structural component, and then throw out everything else that doesn't have any covariant meaning. And so by this, we can take a large multidimensional data set and reduce it down to a much lower dimension data set. And this is just a graphical example of that. And fortunately, we can project these data clouds two-dimensionally. So we can interpret this information, this data reduction information, two-dimensionally in two-dimensional plots. So it's convenient to access. So this is just some early work that we did. I'm trying to look at the, you know, for I work for the Army, so chemicals of concern are TNT and RDX, which are trinitrated toluene, an aromatic compound, and then a trinitrated triazine compound. And they behave in many ways like pesticides. They don't have a great interaction with soils. They have a potential to mobilize very readily. So what this information shows is that we only had about a set of six or seven different soils. We conducted an extensive characterization on that material. And then we did a decomposition. We used a process called partial least squares of regression, which is similar to PCA, except it has a little bit of a way, different way in which it decomposes the data. It's actually more efficient than something like PCA. But at the end of the day, you essentially get a kind of an underlying structure that relates different variables to the samples and then creates a prediction function that will allow us to predict a process. And you notice that the calibration curve has the different samples on it. So if that was replaced with a soil taxonomy description, different soil taxonomies or strategic range of soil taxonomies, essentially we have the basis for our calibration curve that would allow us to directly predict a process based upon, you know, what that taxonomy is. And so that's what we're going for. This is actually data for the sorption constant of TNT and RDX, and these soils couldn't be more different. Some are out of the salt flats, some are out of the southeastern part of the U.S., some are out of the Midwest, but they line up very well on these regressions, on these lines, and I'm not monkeying with the data. All I did was a log transform. It works if I don't do a log transform. It's just prettier if I do a log transform. But because the covariance is so strong, I actually have less than ideal number of samples, lower degrees of freedom, but the covariance is so strong that these things just really crank out. They work really nice. So ideally, if we create a better data set, a higher population of samples, we could really begin to generate some coherent structures describing the data. This is for disappearance rates of TNT and RDX. The curves aren't as pretty, but again, the degrees of freedom are really low. So, again, it seems to work. So the current level of effort that we are involved in is focused on resolving the structures among within the NRCS soil types, soil taxonomies, and then trying to correlate them to the degradation of different types of constituents that the Army uses. They're now called insensitive munitions. So the data that I have right now is a data set that is developing, and I only have the structural data that I can show you right now. I don't have the correlation data. But what I want you to see just in this early data set is that we can already begin to see structure emerging just based upon the taxonomy of the soil that we picked. So here the alpha sols are all are in blue, while some of the other soil orders are in different colors. And what you already see is development of these strong clusters, and we've only done we've only covered two dimensions, so we only have, you know, a relatively small degree of the total variance covered. Yet we have very strong clustering of the alpha sol. So that gives me hope that I can really begin to really discriminate geochemically one soil from another by increasing the level of resolution down the taxonomic schemes. This is an example. Typically, we collected profiles or composites of a profile. This is a small subset of data where we actually collected samples at horizons that we could see. And what this basically tells us is that we can geochemically distinguish horizons from subsurface horizons. See, the surface horizon occurs here, the top subsurface occurs here, and the bottom subsurface occurs here, which is pretty remarkable. And then we're also not constrained to the NRCS system. This is a data set that uses the Harmonized World Soil Database. That database is a lot less detailed and doesn't have the discriminating capability of the NRCS. Yet we're able to get good clusters, good separation of the different soil types based upon the fact that it has such strong covariance in the chemical and physical and chemical characterization data that describes these materials. So in conclusion, we show evidence that we can readily develop signatures based upon the covariance of the constituents within the soils, and that we have the potential to form a latent structure by which we can create correlations of potentially any type of process that we're interested in. And so that's it.